Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
Prime Minister Petr Fiala is due to attend the start of the UN climate summit in Egypt next week. The Czech government has agreed on a windfall tax for energy companies. And Czechia struggles with a shortage of vital medicines. Prime Minister Petr Fiala will attend the start of the UN climate conference in Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt next week, the Czech news agency reported on Friday. His three-day trip will also include bilateral talks with Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi on the sidelines of the summit and a meeting with members of the Czech contingent of the Multinational Force and Observers Mission, an international peacekeeping force overseeing the terms of the peace treaty between Egypt and Israel. The ruling coalition has agreed on the form of a windfall tax on profits in the energy and banking sectors, Finance Minister Zbigniew Stanjura told the Czech news agency on Friday after a meeting of representatives of the five governing parties. The revenue aims to generate around 85 billion crowns next year alone by placing a 60% tax on excess profits in the years 2023 to 2025. The tax should be paid by energy, oil and mining companies and banks. The amendment is part of a new tax package approved by the lower house on Friday. Czech Interior Minister Vít Rakušan has urged the Western Balkan states to harmonise their visa policies with the EU. Speaking at a ministerial forum in Tirana on Thursday, Mr. Rakušan said the measure would reduce the number of migrants heading for the EU along the Balkans route. The Czech Interior Minister said that such a move was a prerequisite to cancelling checks on the EU's internal borders, such as those currently in place on the Czech-Slovak border. A growing number of migrants have been using the Western Balkan states, which have visa-friendly policies, as a gateway to enter the EU. A subsidy programme intended to help the Czech Republic's coal mining regions with the transition to a low-carbon economy will launch on November 14th, the Ministry of the Environment announced in a press release on Friday. The programme is being financed by the European Union's Just Transition Fund and is part of the Green Deal for Europe. The Just Transition Fund is providing over 40 billion crowns for Czechia from EU resources, of which the Environment Ministry wants to distribute 20 billion by the end of the year. The funds will be directed to the Karlovy Vary, Ústí nad Labem and Moravian Silesian regions, where thousands of jobs are directly linked to coal mining and its subsequent use for energy production. The Czech Republic is dealing with the biggest drug shortage in its history, including blood pressure pills, cholesterol pills and basic antibiotics, Hospodářské noviny reported on Friday. Much of Europe is currently dealing with a similar problem, which the news site says has been caused by several factors. But unlike some other countries, Czechia doesn't stockpile drugs in case of shortages. The government says it is preparing a strategy to prevent similar situations in the future and that the most essential medicines should arrive within a few weeks. Police have charged a 19-year-old youth with the attempted double murder of two senior citizens, one of whom was the assailant's grandfather, in Postřelmov in eastern Czechia. Both men were attacked with a military knife on Wednesday and suffered serious injuries. The older of the two men, the perpetrator's 72-year-old grandfather, is in a critical condition and is being kept in a medically induced coma in the intensive care unit at Olomouc University Hospital. The younger of the two victims was the elder's 65-year-old neighbour, who visited him regularly, the Czech news agency reports. According to criminal investigators, the act was premeditated, as the young man bought the military knife used in the crime for the purpose and wrote detailed notes about the attack in advance. Police are still searching for a motive, but according to statements, mental illness may have had a role to play. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Saturday should be overcast with a small chance of rain and daytime temperatures ranging between 7 and 10 degrees Celsius. My name is Anna Fodor and that's the end of the news, but stay tuned for a closer look at some of today's top stories.
Hi there, listener. This is Radio Prague International and I'm Ian Willoughby. Today, Czechia's Oriental Institute is celebrating its centenary. A fashion show presenting young designers from Czechia and Belgium takes place in Brussels on Saturday. And we also talk about a new exhibition in Brussels, mapping Czech design, with its creator, Radek Sidon.
The best situation would be if that exhibition kind of trigger the local authorities, government and ministries that somehow relates to design and production, that they have to prepare some concept how we want to promote the products we do and we work on.
All that's coming up, so do please stay with us. The Oriental Institute of the Czech Academy of Sciences is celebrating 100 years of existence this year. One of the oldest institutions of its kind in the region, it's marking its centenary with several events profiling its work for the ongoing Week of the Czech Academy of Sciences. Tom McEncrow has more.
While it became a part of what was then the newly established Czechoslovak Academy of Sciences in 1953, the Oriental Institute traces its beginnings to 1922, when it was officially approved by the National Assembly of the First Czechoslovak Republic. Dr. Tanya Dluhošová, the director of the institute, explains.
Initial steps started much earlier. It was already in 1916 when Professor Alois Musil, who came from Vienna, had this idea to start an institute which would have two tracks. One of them would be economic, to help the new state to develop and have its foot in also in the so-called Oriental lands. It should have been something like an infrastructural basis for Czech companies, be it state or private, which wanted to start business and some sort of economic collaboration in the countries which were in the Middle East mainly.
This economic department generated money to support the institute's other branch, which was made up of academics.
People were sent to the countries they were interested in to learn more and to provide information to the business department and also to the general public.
Unlike the Czech universities that were forcibly shut down, the institute managed to continue its educational work also during the Nazi occupation period. This was largely thanks to the fact that the professor of the German part of Prague's Charles University, Arabist and Nazi Party member Adolf Grohmann, was named the director of the institute.
So that's why the Oriental studies in the 50s and 60s mainly really had a very steep trajectory and they developed very quickly.
Now, a part of the Czechoslovak Academy of Sciences, the Oriental Institute lost its economic branch and focused exclusively on academic work. It saw its arguably greatest period during the 1960s, says Dr. Dluhošová.
It peaked at about 90 employees. Many of them were traveling abroad as visiting professors, giving lectures abroad and so on. But also it gave opportunity for younger generation to start their career. So at the time, there were several kind of, we would say, research topics or clusters of scholars who studied certain phenomena that were present in different regions. So it was kind of comparative research regarding, for example, modernity. Then how the states in Asia, especially in East Asia and South Asia, developed vis-a-vis the encounter with the West and what the modernity actually meant for that society.
The other significant cluster related to lexicology, the study of the form, meaning and behavior of words. The Institute's researchers managed to come up with a new lexicological methodology, which was also adopted abroad. Just as many other Czechoslovak institutions, the Institute saw major changes in personnel after the 1968 invasion of the country and the implementation of what is known as normalization. Many of the Institute's leading researchers would emigrate, going on to forge successful careers abroad in Western universities. Meanwhile, the Institute's leadership and research became much more politicized. After the Velvet Revolution, the Oriental Institute saw a gradual exodus of communist-era staff, as well as the introduction of more multidisciplinary research. The Institute's cohort of researchers has also become far more diverse in recent years, says Dr. Dluhošová.
I think that this really helped us to open up, to internationalize, and now we have nearly half of our staff are foreigners.
While the Institute no longer has set clusters of research, the head of the Institute says that its strengths now lie especially in research related to East Asia, including Taiwan and the Middle East. For example, one of the Institute's current programs, Monuments of Mosul in Danger, focuses on analysing the damage caused to that city's cultural heritage when it was occupied by the so-called Islamic State and recreating them through a 3D model. This project of the Institute, as well as many others, are currently being presented to the public as part of the Week of the Czech Academy of Sciences, which runs until Sunday, November 6th.
A joint show presenting the youngest generation of fashion designers from Czechia and Belgium is due to take place in Brussels on Saturday. The event, called We're Next Brussels, is part of a day dedicated to Czech culture and is organized by the Czech Centre Brussels. Ruth Frankova spoke to its director, Jitka Panek-Jurkova, to ask her to tell her more about it.
The idea really is to help and promote Czech young fashion abroad. We have been working with this theme in the past 5 years that I spent in Brussels every year organizing one staple, I would say, activity that hopefully helped Czech young designers, either fashion or product designers, to establish themselves a little bit in Brussels and in Belgium. And this year, since it's the Czech presidency of the Council of the EU, we decided to go slightly bigger than usual, and we opted for a fashion show. We partnered up with VR Next Prague, and we decided not to do only Czech fashion designers, because obviously that would not be that much of a dialogue or international event, but we brought together Czech and Belgian and also other European fashion designers together for this joint fashion show that will take place in Gare Maritime tomorrow.
As far as I know, this is not the first We Are Next fashion show. That is a project that started already in 2016. Who is behind this project?
Exactly. We Are Next Prague is a project that was started by Lukáš Spilka, a Czech fashion designer who is, very conveniently for us, both an alumni of the University of Arts and Design in Prague, UMPRUM, and the Royal Academy of Fine Arts in Antwerp. So he is very well rooted in both the fashion scenes in the Czech Republic and Belgium and beyond. And every year he is the one organizing the We Are Next fashion show in Prague that is mostly promoting or featuring young fashion designers, meaning either students or fresh alumni of the best fashion schools in Europe.
Can you mention at least some of the Czech designers who are taking part in Saturday's fashion show?
Of course. Well, we were really glad that we were able also to pursue collaboration with some of the regional fashion incubators. So we went beyond Prague. We do have several names from UMPRUM, from the Prague Academy of Arts and Design, such as Linda von Drasek, for instance, and a few others, such as Lukáš Spilka himself. But we also are working with schools in Brno, for instance, with the Ecotextile School. Lenka Kusalová will be the one presenting their atelier, or with the Sudnarka Academy in Plzeň, or even with the Tomáš Baťa University in Zlín. So we are happy that we really could have brought a large spectrum of Czech schools to Brussels.
Can you also tell us a little bit more about the venue, which is really stunning?
The venue, that is a perfect match, I believe. It's a beautiful former freight train station that has been just recently reconstructed. And since it's a new Brussels venue, their program is not yet that full, and they have been very forthcoming with their conditions for collaboration. Not only that they were very generous with providing us a large enough space for the fashion show, which turned out to be important because at this moment we have over 1,000 registrations in the audience, but they also let us to organize a DJ session after the fashion show, and they are also collaborating with the city of Prague on an exhibition of art in public space that is taking place there right now. And the Czech artist Tomáš Moravec created a site-specific sculpture for Gare Maritime that comes alive in augmented reality. So there really is a very complex program that we are preparing for tomorrow with our partners, and I believe that the venue is a very important element of that.
Against the backdrop of the ongoing Czech EU presidency, a special exhibition titled Design and Transformation, Stories of Czech Design 1990-2020 is currently on display at the Design Museum Brussels. The exhibition serves not just as an opportunity to show beautiful Czech designs and the stories of selected brands, but also as a much-needed call for a unified strategy of how to present Czech product design abroad. Tom Makrin-Crowe spoke to one of the key figures behind the exhibition, the Vice Rector of the Academy of Arts, Architecture and Design in Prague, Radek Sidun.
This exhibition is prepared on the occasion of presidency of Czech Republic in EU. And so for that reason, we kind of follow this political and economical aspect of our disciplines or subjects. I mean, design or production that is somehow connected with design. And speaking of some stability and political business proactive environment. We were following the 14 stories or 14 brands or companies that kind of show their process in a history, because, you know, the Czech Republic or Czechoslovakia, to be precise, had a few up and downs politically wise and also economically wise. And we follow up these companies and showing the stories and progress and how they actually dealt with, how they worked with this and what they were facing during the production. And the exhibition actually shows the current products, because these companies do still exist and they are still very active in the field of design and production.
And just to be clear, the exhibition traces the history of these companies, or the history of Czech design, from 1990 to 2020, so since the Velvet Revolution, or does it go further back?
No, the objects and products we actually exhibit have been made in the last 30 years, and so after the Velvet Revolution.
So tell me some of these stories. If you could maybe give me an example of a few companies that you chose to exhibit and why, and how their story has developed over the past 30 years.
Well, we are presenting just big brands like Skoda cars, for instance, and also the small brands like some shoe brand, which is rather small, but that rather represents the whole shoe industry rather than one brand. And speaking of the big stories, I mean, the Skoda car, I think, is a pretty good example of an interesting story. I mean, it started before First World War. There were kind of like changes later. Communists, they took over. And in the 90s, this company was actually was changed, and now it's a part of Volkswagen. And I think it's a good example of successful transformation.
And the exhibition has already opened earlier this month. Have you gotten any feedback yet from Brussels, especially, I guess, from foreign designers? What has the response been from your fellow European designers?
I don't know yet. I think we got a great feedback from the companies and from designers, actually, because this exhibition has been something what we've been waiting for ages. And I think this is the first step on our way of to promote our products and showing what we actually can do. So I don't really care that much about what designers say about it, but I'm interested in general understanding this project from companies and also from the authorities, Ministry of Industry and so on, who've been quite silent since then.
Okay, so from what I understand from your answer, I guess this is a sort of chance for Czech design to really show itself to Europe. What, I guess, are you hoping for? Do you know what I mean? What would be the ideal to come out of this exhibition?
The best situation would be if that exhibition kind of trigger the local authorities, government, and ministries that somehow relates to design and production, that they have to prepare some concept how we want to promote the products we do and we work on. I'm speaking about strategy, some long-term or some mid-term strategy, how to promote our products, as some other countries do all around Europe, but we don't.
Can you give some examples of other countries successfully promoting their design?
Well, if you go to the big European design festivals like Milano or Eindhoven in Holland, you often see the some sort of state presentation. You see a presentation of Poland for instance, and they showing what they do, and they are presenting themselves every year, you know, 1 year after another, and we can see their progress, and actually they constantly reminding the quality of what they do. I mean, speaking of that, I mean, the best example of it could be for instance Denmark, because, you know, after Second World War, Denmark was a small country. No one really didn't know them. No, it's double negative, isn't it?
No. Yeah, but it's a double negative that everyone understands.
They were not very famous on the field of design, and thanks to the strategy and ongoing process, now we can speak about some sort of Danish design. It's something that everyone knows.
It sounds like you've thought about this question quite a lot in the past, so just tell me, in your own capacity, how would you profile Czech design? What would be the sort of main aspects you'd focus on?
Oh, this is a very tricky question. But, you know, maybe when we speaking of this exhibition, this exhibition shows that the Czech people, Czech designers, and also the brands and companies can be very creative. Creative in a way how to deal with the difficult situation we have been through. Speaking of stability and some progress that you need for some sustainable growth of the business. And so these designers and the companies in the last few decades they had to deal with a very, very difficult situation, and very often they succeeded.
And by difficult situation, you mean economically or financially?
Economically, financially, and also, and that's somehow connected with politics, of course. After the revolution, we enter into wild capitalism in the 90s. It was a totally new situation, and no one really knew how to do that, how to do the business in that way. We were actually under the pressure of the international brands, and we still are, because of course we are not so economically strong as the others, and so on. And so there are so many problems that we have to deal with. And that sort of creativity, how to deal with the situation, how to go through this, is, I think, pretty typical for Czech people or Czech designers.
Okay, is there some particular piece that you're exhibiting where you could maybe use as an example of just what you said? I mean, I imagine the 90s, you know, given the wild capitalism, etc., it must have also been an interesting time for just new design concepts coming up. I guess, you know, there was a lot of experimentation. Is there something which particularly struck you that came up from a Czech company that you chose to exhibit?
Well, I've mentioned that we mainly follow the some sort of historical line. I mean, that speaking of this stability and history and tradition of some brands. But we also exhibit companies and brands that are completely new. We are exhibiting, for instance, company which is called Linet, and also Prusa, which is a 3D printers. These new companies, they started in the 90s, thanks to their very innovative approach, they became world leaders in their disciplines, such as Prusa 3D printing, and also the Linet, the chairs for hospitals and beds for hospitals and so on. So this is interesting because no one would actually expect it that we would be dominating that companies from such a small country would manage within 30 years to dominate some part of business on a field of this.
Of course, the history of your school goes back some time as well. That should be noted. What is it like working on the sort of, between art but also art designed for business, you know what I mean? Specifically targeted design. I mean, after all, we are at the Umělecko-průmyslová škola, which is the School of Art, Design and Architecture. So what is that like? Do you know what I mean? I guess you can't be just a pure artist coming up with it.
No, you know what
I mean? It must be very difficult, I guess, to find this middle ground, right?
This is a very good question. We are often people think that we are mostly connected with the, for instance, culture or so, but this school mostly, I'm not saying 100%, but mostly is connected with industry, because most of the disciplines, design, product design, architecture, and even the graphic design, is connected with industry, with the industrial work, with proper business, And it's good to see that from this perspective, that we our disciplines are from a field called applied arts, but it's applied. So there are some processes that are very, very organized and has to adapt on a menu situation, also in production.
I guess the question would be, you know, you're looking at how Czech design evolved since the 90s to the 2022 or 2020s. How did Umprum evolve during this period? You know, because it must have been a very challenging also time for Umprum.
Umprum always played an important role because our teachers and professors are the key figures, the key people in design production. And also our graduates, of course. And this school is actually very, very, very dynamic. But what we are desperately looking for is some help and support from companies, from industry, because we're kind of alone. I think that some of the companies, they expect that that's something what government should do, and they will just pay us and we will work for everyone. But I think without some private a private input, without some cooperation, deep close cooperation with the companies and brands, it's very, very difficult. And these companies have to actually realize that actually we work for them. Our graduates are the people who will work for them. So we are desperately looking for their help.
During this interview, what I'm sort of understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, this exhibition is also just a big chance for UMPROM and sort of Czech designers to get the attention that they need to improve.
Naturally. I mean, of course, we get our attention because this school has prepared this exhibition. But in historically, this is not a new thing. In the past, in 20s, for instance, UMPROM was very active in presenting the state, because in that time there was this famous world exhibition like the exhibition in Paris in 1925, where actually Czech Republic, or Czechoslovakia to be precise, received many awards. And that was actually also thanks to the UMPROM, because this exhibition, or this presentation, this state presentation, because it was organized by state, was designed and prepared by the teachers, and also the products there were mostly designed by the teachers and professors of UMPROM. So it's not a new thing that our school is preparing these projects, like these exhibitions like that. And of course, this is something, as I said earlier, this is something what we desperately knew. We have to promote ourselves, we have to exhibit our product, and so on. And we thought, and we spoke to authorities in Czech Republic that this is something what we need. They didn't really listen. But now, thanks to the presidency of EU, this is a great chance to prepare this project, and I think that I hope this is just a start of it.
Just on that note, because the obvious thing that comes to mind is, of course, there are all these expo exhibitions. Yeah. I mean, in a way, world exhibitions still go on every few years. We have expo exhibitions. I believe one is coming up in Tokyo right now. I might be wrong, in Japan. So, you know, surely this is happening. Surely Czech design or the Czech Republic is presenting itself through design.
That you are right, but of course we are mostly focused on the part of the industry which is connected with design, because these world exhibitions are actually showing the basically any successful areas of Czech production or our environment, whatever. But of course, as a design school, we are focusing on the design production.
So you want to give Czech design its style. It needs its signature style with which it can present itself abroad.
As simple as that.
Radek Sidon, who is speaking there, to my colleague Tom McEncrow. But that's all we have time for right now on Radio Prague International. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you so much for joining us, and speak to you again very soon.